The following content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Bringing you a passion for health and wellness, Dr. Omar Uliwa is here to answer your pharmaceutical questions. Now, let's go in the pharmacy with Earl Ingram and Dr. Omar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
What's going on with Earl Ingram? I am always happy to come before you and have a conversation with a man that I admire tremendously for his knowledge and his commitment to the health of human his humanity and all the different things associated with his profession. But he goes over and above all of those things. Welcome back to In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mequon, Thingsville. Good morning to you, Dr. Omar. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's always good to talk with you. And before we get into all the different things we've got lined up in our conversation this morning, how can people get in touch with you?
You can always call me at 262-429-9429 and leave a message or go to welltopiarx.com.
You know, the one thing many things I can say clearly about you, but if you call Dr. Omar, he's never too busy. He's going to return your call. I don't know how he does it, but he does.
It's a commitment to our community, and this is what I do every day, is that I try to find where I can be useful, and if I know something and I can help you with the information that I gain as a pharmacist, as a functional medicine kind of schooler, I would be more than happy to help. And we are looking always for the precision medicine, precision pharmaceuticals, the tools that can support our health. And unfortunately now, early, there is a lot of misinformation from figures that we listen to, and we really need to clear the air and the brain fog that is happening from all of this misinformation out there, and just be precise and not be frantic about some of the scientific facts that we knew for a long time. And we just need to always tell people, like, you have to speak to experts to confirm the information.
So before we get into all of that, what is the latest news in the pharmacy?
Some of the latest news in the pharmaceutical field is some of the medications have changes in their FDA guidance. Like, there is a medication called Opzelura. And Opzelura has been a game-changer medication for eczema. And now the FDA have approved it to be used for children as young as 2 years old for eczema or atopic dermatitis. And that is important for patients because it is a non-steroid prescription option that target the inflammatory inflammation in the body differently that can cause this tough condition for young children. It's not over the counter. It's not for every child. It is for a certain time of use, sometimes only 6 weeks, not more than, I think, 12 weeks. So it's just one of the important changes that we wanted to tell people. Also, there is a medication called Keytruda. Keytruda, K-E-Y, Keytruda is needed for cancer immunotherapy. It used to be just IV infusion only. Now there is improvement in using it as subcutaneous within 1 to 2 minutes only. So that's another hard drug brand name that is used for cancer therapy. So that is an important update. Another thing that's important, and that will be the third and final update today, is crackdown from the FDA on the drug ads. America is the only, I think it's, we are the only country that have those drug ads that are kind of overhyped for very serious medications. So the FDA announced stricter rules for direct-to-consumer drug advertising, which means that the commercials you see for medications on TV, YouTube, or magazines will need clearer safety info and less fine print to just make sure that, that the advertising of drugs is more controlled. So, yeah, that is kind of what we have updates for this week.
So before we get into all the other things that we want to talk about, you just mentioned something. And so need to ask the question, Dr. Omar. So drugs that have already been cleared for different purposes, they don't stop with the scientists with investigating different uses for those drugs that have been around a long time. They're repurposed. Is that what happens? They just continue to experiment to see maybe this drug was developed for a purpose, but now we find out later on it can be used for multi-purposes?
Exactly, because it is easier to repurpose an older drug that we have seen some of its side effects rather than just keep inventing drugs. And this is from one end, from another end. If there is a drug that has been approved for a certain age group, trying it for other age groups can help with better options for patients. That's actually one of the reasons I wanted to be a pharmacist, is because the scientists and the creativity when it comes to creation of new treatments doesn't stop at a certain way, or it's just can go in different directions. So I get a lot of questions about this medication called Opzelura, because it is used as JAK kinase inhibitor for more than one purpose, like atopic dermatitis, vitiligo. There's very few options for vitiligo. This option has been a game changer. But then younger children where they have conditions and the doctors want to use the medication early on, they ask us this question, is it safe or not? So we have to go to the FDA guidelines and the trials by the FDA to tell the parents if they can use it for, tell the doctors actually who prescribe it, if it can be prescribed for younger generation. So when this medication can be safe to use from 2 years old, that is big relief to parents. And it keeps going every day. There is more inventions and creativity and investments in drugs. It's the number two investment after weapons that there is like injection of money happens is medications. So that's why it's always one of the top headlines and news, and politicians, they care about this part of our life, because this is where the money is. This is where the health is. And many of us, our lives depend on those medications.
So, Dr. Omar, having said those things, you know, today, in today's climate, their thoughts and conversations about the fact that they leadership in areas today want to cut investment in research and in science. And what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is that the reason why there is advancement and life's span are increasing is because of the investment in the research and development. If we cut this money, by default, we are decreasing the chance of offering more options to patients. If we look at the scope of the United States, we've been the leader in the world in the scientific research because we've been number one country that invests in research and development. If this changes, everything will change. and it's an ongoing plans. If you are putting a plan for 2030, 2040, you're going to put this plan in 2025. And that's why we're kind of concerned that the investments in research are being cut or being manipulated according to the way that the kind of the faculty would direct the money. It's just more control and more limitations to research is very dangerous for the future of science. So, and we really hope that there will be like different direction.
So politics should not ever be involved in this, but politics is involved in everything. But in this instance, you know, you're hearing, like we heard this week or last week, the Tylenol, something that has been, you know, in a hopper for I don't know how many decades. Tylenol has been an approved drug to deal with many different things. And now we're hearing, you know, from people who really aren't experts that Tylenol is something that people should be worried about and leery of. Your thoughts on that whole process?
I'm glad that you're bringing this to the light, because Tylenol or acetaminophen, for decades, it's been the go-to pain reliever and fever reducer in pregnancy. Why? Because it's generally considered safer than other medications like non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen and Advil, which can affect the baby's heart and kidneys if used in late pregnancy. But here is where politics and science meet. Over the past few years, studies have raised concerns about possible links between long-term use of Tylenol and high dose of Tylenol use in pregnancy, that there are developmental issues in children. The FDA hasn't changed its official stance. They still say Tylenol is the safer option, the safer choice. But the advocacy groups and even some lawmakers are pushing for a clearer warning on the labels. And when we saw the president backing the Tylenol warning and giving this warning, and he's not an expert, that kind of caused a backlash coming from the OBGYN doctors talking about that the risk of fever on the mother and the child can be higher than warning people from taking the safer option to help this fever. Because the reality of things, what we see in the pharmacy is that there are very few options for pregnant women to help when she gets sick, and Tylenol is one of those safer options. So it would make more sense that the OBGYN groups would come out and talk about any possible risks of medications. So they still say, like, the FDA did not change their stance yet, and talking about certain and citing certain studies that talk about certain doses of the Tylenol doesn't mean that we ask all pregnant women to stay away from this medication, because now we're going to put the baby under stress. The mother can get fever, and that can cause and affect the development of the child. And it just causes chaos. It causes chaos that's unneeded, unnecessary.
You know, Dr. Omar, and their rationale for making this announcement was that they believe that it causes autism in children, and they can't really back that up with solid facts, can they?
They cannot back it with solid facts. And the saying that Tylenol use in pregnancy can increase the risk of autism in children, it's just there is not enough evidence to say that. And the challenge is when there is not enough evidence and you come and you do the link because you're a politician, that is very serious in science, because now we are affecting other patients who need the medicine, and at the same time, if the science come and say 1, 2, 3, we're following 1, 2, 3 because these guys are experts. These are the basics of what we learn in school, is that you have to follow the science, follow the evidence. We didn't learn in pharmacy school that you're going to follow the politician when they say something. Or, I want to tell you that. I've never got this in pharmacy school or in regular school or any school. So, yeah.
You know, Dr. Omar, it's pretty frightening what we are hearing. And, you know, you guys certainly are the ones who understand the impact of decisions that are being made now that will impact the population in a horrific way if what we are seeing now continues, right? I mean, at some point in time, Dr. Omar, yeah, we've always trusted in some instances, we've trusted what the scientists have been able to develop, and these are the best that we have, and these aren't just people who nondescript people who are developing these medications and doing the studies. These are the best that we have.
Yeah, so the public feels like when the public feels the risks are hidden, even small concerns become big stories. And that's why the FDA and the medical groups walk a fine line, acknowledging of the studies, but reminding us that Tylenol is still safer in pregnancy than most alternatives. I get this, you know, that I have many supplements in my store, Earl, right?
Right.
Like hundreds of them. And I get these questions from pregnant women. They ask me, can I use this? Can I use that? Can I use that? And every time I check for them, I come back and I say, I'm sorry, you cannot use this until you safely deliver the baby, until you are safely no more feeding the baby. Because of the limited data that we have on most of medications and supplements for use during pregnancy. So we have few limited safer options. And it was startling and mind-boggling to me that we have this safe option on that coming from the mouth of the president, that do not use it. And then you go and you check the science and you don't see enough scientific data to back it up. So we just have to put it back to the pure science focus. Let's just stay away from the distraction, ask the experts and see what you can do, and just kind of, we try to focus on making better future for us and for the community.
You know, Dr. Omar, we're talking about life and death decisions here, right?
Life and death decisions. The pregnant women, they are bringing kids to life. I have 4 kids. I remember each of my wife's pregnancy, and she had some tougher days than others. And some of those medications saved her life. And we just cannot believe that the OBGYN would come and say, I'm not going to give you this medication because the politicians decided it's not safe. We are always going to follow the science. And unfortunately, if the medical professionals are going to be afraid from prescribing medications that are considered safe, the public and the people and the customers and the patients are going to use unauthorized sources to get those medications, which is going to wreak havoc on health of the community in all.
So Dr. Omar, you know, this opens up Pandora's box, because it certainly impacts the investors of certain medications. It certainly impacts decisions that doctors will be making. It impacts the pharmacies, and more than anything else, it impacts the American people. Not just because if it's Tylenol today, what is it going to be tomorrow? And that's why I think people are so alarmed, because this flowed from a group of people who clearly is kind of similar to influencers on, you know, the internet, right? Who are the influencers? Where do they get their knowledge? Yet people are following those influencers. It's kind of the same thing with people making decisions on what is a good medication and what is not.
Yes. Well, actually, as you mentioned, Pandora's box, when it comes to politics and the drug manufacturers and what changes there, is a big topic in the pharma field. And for example, the thyroid medications, we have known for decades that levothyroxine or Synthroid is the most prescribed drug in the US for years, has been around for decades. But the FDA reclassified it as a new drug in 1997, requiring manufacturers to prove the bioequivalence from different manufacturers for the levothyroxine. Then a few months ago, the FDA came and said that they are concerned about certain forms of thyroid medications that come from the porcine thyroid gland, and they are going to try to reclassify or stop the manufacturing of these compounded thyroid medications after 12 months. And what we see clinically, and the doctors can speak to that, is some patients do not respond to the levothyroxine alone, because levothyroxine is a prodrug. It's T4 that has to be changed to T3, which is the active form of the drug in the body. Some patients cannot do this transformation, so they can't take the number one prescribed drug, the levothyroxine. So the patients would take another prescribed medication, which is T3 alone. All right, it's another brand name. But the challenge is not every patient can take that medication. It's like sometimes very low bioavailability, which is very low absorption of this medication. So the solution was to use a compounded medication from the thyroid gland coming from the porcine, from pigs. And now the FDA is saying that it might not be safe and they might stop compounding it in about 10 months. And we're very concerned because we're talking about hundreds of thousands or millions of people who have finally found a medication that supports their thyroid gland and their quality of life. So the tie between politics, money, and drugs have been very strong early on. But when we talk about challenges between scientists, doctors, FDA, drug manufacturers, everyone from this party is backing it off with science, with reasons, with data, with clinical evidence. But when it becomes a pure politics that pushes certain medications in certain pathway, that's where it becomes very dangerous for the public.
You know, Dr. Omar, I'm one of those people who takes a thyroid medication. I used to take levothyroxine. I think I took levothyroxine for, I don't know, 5-6 years after I had my thyroid removed. And I can tell you, to hear the conversation that you're talking about right now is, you know, you feel helpless, right? Because there's nothing you can do as an American citizen to influence these kinds of decisions that are being made and are not being made in the best interest of the American people or all these other ancillary things that are going on that can determine whether or not your health is going to be paramount. And after all this is said and done, Dr. Omar, all these things that we're talking about should always be directed in the health of the patient. Is it right? Am I right to say that?
For sure. For sure. We depend on the decision for what to take and what not to take on when we visit the doctor, when we talk to the pharmacist, when we kind of get it from the expert. When this changes, everything would change, because the trust of the public is very important. Since we mentioned the thyroid medications, I just want to tell people about something very important, because I get this question a lot. When patients forget to take their Synthroid medication or levothyroxine, they ask me, can I double the dose the next day? And I want to tell people, if you miss the dose of the levothyroxine, you do not need to double the dose tomorrow, because this medication has a very long half-life, can go up to 4 days. So just wait until the following day and take the dose at the same time. That should be fine. If you take the last pill on a Friday and you're going to refill you the medication on Monday, it's okay to wait for the medication for a couple of days and then take it again on Monday. But if you take the T3, which is Cytomel, all right, Cytomel, which is a T3, it's like the active form of the thyroid medication for patients who cannot do this transformation of the drug in their bodies. The T3 have short half-life. So it's like about 18 hours half-life. So if you miss the dose, it will be important to take it the following day or ask the pharmacy. If you're in Wisconsin, you can ask the pharmacist for 7 days emergency fill until the doctor prescribes the new drug. But it will be important to take it tomorrow because it can affect your energy and quality of life. It can work pretty fast. Just piece of information I wanted to drop in. So we would kind of, you know, tell people that we're always following the science and the information. I don't expect that people are going to hear this piece of information from the politicians.
You know, Dr. Omar, people will, and I'm hearing people say, well, the people are just concerned. They're just because this regime that's in office and the reason that they're not supporting these decisions that are being made is because, you know, the Republicans are in office. But I will say to those who are listening, Dr. Omar, and pose this to you. Thus far, we've heard that COVID vaccinations aren't going to be available for everyone. We've heard that vaccinations themselves from this regime in such a short period of time, rapid fire, vaccinations aren't great. They've got people lined up who are saying they're not the best thing. And, you know, maybe, you know, there are all these side effects and maybe, you know, people shouldn't be taking vaccinations. We've seen the measles increases. We've seen all sorts of other increases while the same regime is talking about, you know, the vaccines. Now we find and hear the same regime is talking about medications that have been found to be solid in what were created for. And so if you just follow the direction that things are going, we should be worried, Dr. Omar.
We have patients that come to the pharmacy now and they cannot pay for the COVID vaccine because they're not above 65 and the insurance is not paying for it because they're following the CDC guidelines. So we're seeing solid data that new updated COVID vaccine, especially by Moderna, is showing strong data in resistance and protection for people against the new strains from the variations of COVID. So coverage is important because at the end of the day, the insurance companies are going to follow the directions of the CDC and the FDA when it comes to guidance of who is going to be approved for a shot that costs $200. And yeah, people want to travel, want to feel safe, and that is going to happen when we are getting the tools of health that we believe are important. So we have less and less people coming for getting their vaccines, and unfortunately some of them are seniors and with long-term health conditions, chronic health conditions, and they need protection. So we really want to follow the science, follow the doctors, and just kind of the push from the politicians. We want them to fix our lives and focus on what they know, I would say.
So the pharmaceutical industry is clearly concerned about these developments, because if they weren't concerned about these developments, who else with knowledge of what is transpiring and taking place is able to alarm the American people. And maybe through the conversations that we're having and others like us, we can bring pressure to bear on the politicians, Dr. Omar, who, you know, who really react and should react to the people who've elected them.
Of course, the pharmaceutical companies, from one end, they've been pouring company into research and development. On one hand, we have companies like Pfizer, Moderna, and Novavax. They have poured billions of dollars in research, manufacturing, global supply chains. With every FDA update or advisory committee vote, this can shift the stock prices overnight. And on the other hand, we have the uptake of COVID boosters has been dropping year after year. Narrowing eligibility, like this season, focus on older adults and high-risk patients, leaving the younger adults and generation of people that are vulnerable. This means fewer doses sold, and therefore less revenue for those companies. Investors are asking, will COVID shots remain a billion-dollar market? Will it shrink like a seasonal niche product like shingles or RSV vaccines? And that will affect the amount of money poured into research and development. And that can cause the viruses like COVID to come back. And we are seeing an uptake in patients getting and people getting sick, asking for COVID tests, saying, do we have COVID? Do we have something else? So I'm just worried that the more that we shift from the scientific data to the headlines of the health information coming in the mouth of politicians, that is just causes a drift in our focus from what really matters for the health of our communities. Again, Earl, we want to always provide the most updated scientific information that can help people get better. Focusing on that, this is a sacred mission for every healthcare professional. And we just don't want those distractions fighting over facts that we have known for years, as things like the Tylenol that we started to talk about. This is shifting our focus from other more important things, like we can talk about, right?
Yeah,
that's a challenge.
You know, Dr. Omar, I just want to take a moment because we hear CDC, and the average American citizen doesn't know what the Center for Disease Control does. So I'm going to take a couple seconds just to give an idea of what we're talking about, how important this center is, and why it shouldn't be tampered with politically. The purpose of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is to protect and promote health and safety in the United States and worldwide. Specifically, the CDC aims to prevent diseases, identify, monitor, and control the spread of infectious diseases, detect and respond to health threats, prepare for and respond to public health emergencies such as outbreaks and natural disasters, promote health and safety, provide information and guidance on healthy behaviors such as nutrition, exercise, and smoking cessation, enforce public health regulations, establish and enforce standards for food safety, water quality, and other areas of public health, conduct research, investigate causes and spread of diseases, and develop new prevention strategies, collaborate with partners, work with, on and on and on. And so, Dr. Omar, the reason I think it's important that people understand the magnitude of the CDC and what it represents, imagine if during the COVID spread that the CDC wasn't free, Dr. Omar, to do the things that it did in order to respond to what happened with COVID. So it shouldn't be tampered with politically. Is that safe to say?
Exactly. The CDC is like the weather service. They collect the data, they watch the radar, and they say a storm is coming. But they don't decide if schools should close, if the city close your street. That's up to the local leaders, right? So remember, weather service, they track the storm, they issue the forecast, all right? So sometimes the forecast changes. So the freedom of research, freedom of the CDC to tell us what is going to happen is very important. And that's why the data matters. We influence the CDC with politics. That's kind of very dangerous for the public because these resources are meant as a solid resources to help support the communities and the leaders in the communities to take decisions. And when what we saw with COVID in the first few days, when there was no travel ban, it was delayed, the surge in the epidemic numbers, people falling sick, people dying, was much higher than expected if America took an earlier decision. So if we learn from this that now we're not going to talk about the problem at all, we're going to say that the vaccines are bad, that COVID is not true, it's not happening, it's kind of giving mixed data to the public, because eventually you're going to find the CDC coming with another warning and people are not going to respect it because they're going to feel it's being influenced by politics, right?
You know, Dr. Omar, how soon we forget. You know, COVID is in the rearview mirror. And so we've gotten over it. And so we've forgotten about it because it's not being talked about as much today. And so we feel as if we've overcome it. It's not a major issue anymore. But at least we forget the past. You know, we certainly, you know, bound to repeat it. And it for all the reasons in the world, Dr. Omar, my fear is that we don't know. The American people aren't educated on the importance of the CDC and others. Not only is it involved in what happens in our nation, but it is involved globally. Because yeah. if what transpired and where you know they say COVID came from in China, if we are not engaged or involved globally, something can develop in a different nation that can also cause this kinds of disruption to human beings.
I totally agree with you, and our reliance on the CDC get to be less and less. We're less confident about the data that comes. But that also, I like to take a moment to say that we don't have solid data that numbers are increasing of COVID cases currently, maybe also because many people test for COVID at home. We just want to say to people to stay protected, keep eating healthier, keep taking vitamin C's, keep checking your vitamin D and make sure that it's above 50, 50. 50 to 70 is better than 30 to 50 when you check the vitamin D levels.
So, Dr. Ma, how do you check those things? How do we check those
blood
different...
work.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's blood work that you request from your doctor. When you go to the doctor, they do regular blood work. Just ask the doctor to do vitamin D level check. It's called 25-hydroxyvitamin D. It's a test that's not included in the general tests for the CBC or complete blood count. When the numbers in the conventional medicine say below 20 is considered deficient, 20 to 30 is now borderline insufficient, 30 to 55-0 is the sweet spot for most people, but we aim for above 50, 50 to 80 or 50 to 70. That's good numbers, supporting immune function and helps the body recovers from viral and bacterial infections quickly. So aiming for a higher number is good. Very high number above 80 will make us ask the patients to back down on their vitamin D supplementation because there is something that is called vitamin D toxicity. So it is rare, but we just want always the balance of good numbers and not very high numbers. So as long as you're taking care of yourself and taking basic vitamins every day, and if you cannot take several of them, just take one good multivitamin like Active Life, the one that we have. It has 2,000 units of vitamin D. It has vitamin C. It has I vitamins. It has chromium to support the sensitivity of your blood sugar. So just one good multivitamin is going to be better than nothing. So I just think that just basic nutrition support and eating breakfast, sleeping healthy, breathing every day is key to our health.
So Dr. Ma, before we shut down for this episode, I always say to people, I have no problem talking about my health issues publicly, because if they make a difference to somebody else, then I think that's the way we should go. And especially somebody who has a platform and an opportunity, then I want people to hear this. And I came to you a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about what was going on. I just had my labs done, and I didn't understand the numbers and what they, and how can the average person understand what the numbers mean? We have no concept at all. We don't get to go talk back to the doctors and call them up and say, hey, I got the return on my chart. And so these numbers and what they stand for, I didn't understand. You took the time to explain to me what they meant. I thought they meant something altogether different. And you prescribe once again something else that has certainly made a difference already in what I'm doing, because I'm diabetic, I can check through, you know, pricking my finger and checking all those things out. But to make a long story short, I was my blood was somewhere around, I think it was about 90 something over 80 or 70 something.
Your blood pressure.
My blood pressure was low.
Yes.
And I was starting to feel a little lightheaded. And so I Googled low blood pressure. I was kind of dragging a little bit. And all that made the difference was it said drink a 16-ounce glass of water. And and that should make a difference. And so I drank a 16-ounce glass of water, and it was like magical.
Yeah.
You know?
That is great. And that is, it's important to use artificial intelligence in a good way, you know. Normal blood pressure is like 120 over 80. If that was your normal and you get numbers that are below 90 over 60, or if 70 is low for you, drinking a glass of water can increase the blood volume, and it can theoretically help to make you feel better and get the blood pressure to be normal. Maybe you need adjustment in your medication for the blood pressure, that it's kind of working too good. If you feel dizzy, fainting, you feel weak or lightheaded, that's when we need to look at what can we do in general. Or maybe it was just a rough day that you had,
yes,
right? So yeah, these kind of simple interventions, these are encouraged. I like them. And this is what you mentioned, is like we do the labs and we have all of this data and we want to make sense out of it. And sometimes you can put this data and pour it to ChatGPT and it will tell you some information. But at the same time, there is a probability of misinformation. So we are noticing as healthcare professionals that the questions that come from the public are smarter. We are getting not the first line of questions. We get now the questions after the public. Do you get an answer? And then we want to understand it. You want to refine it. That's when you now ask the expert. So just balancing the information that you get and validating this data and information is important. And there is ways to do that. But I'm glad that you're taking the initiative and you're trying to work it out on your own. That is something that I don't discourage, but at the same time, I want people to always remember that they can call at the pharmacy, ask the pharmacist. They can always get the most important question they want to ask the doctor. Don't go to ask the doctor 10 questions at one time. Just focus on the most important thing for your health that kind of concerned you from your labs, from your what you've been going through since you saw the doctor 3 months ago or 6 months ago, and ask this critical question to the doctor, because they are going to give you the best answer that they know. However, the time is limited with your healthcare professional. It will be great to ask just one or two questions that you could not validate their answers before, you know. And that's precision medicine. Is like you get the answer just for you, not for everyone else. And that's why we need people to focus on their health, especially in these tough times.
Dr. Omar, it's always great. It's always too short. Really, really appreciate it. Your knowledge and information is going to be more and more important as we enter into this time of the year. Thank you very much. Been a pleasure. Kiss the babies. See you soon.
Thank you so much, Errol. See you soon.
All right.